church must do. He has to love them, care for them, preach a sermon every Sunday, visit them, and then no salary. So I was in this church, and we have to buy a building. There's no mortgage. Banks don't lend to churches. We have to pay it up in 3 months. Then the seller extended it to 6 months. Wow, it's faith. Do you trust God? Do you trust yourself? And what happened is that God molded us through that experience. We have a couple who was about to get married, planning their wedding. They gave all their money to the church building fund. Crazy, right? Now that is crazy love. You have never read the book Crazy Love by Francis Chan? Go and read it. People say, you are crazy as a Christian. Why on earth would you do that? But you know what? They still got married. And the husband became a pastor. And he's been a pastor for 20 years. And right now, he's a church planter. I officiated at their wedding. God blessed them. Now that is sacrificial giving. Because why? That is my home, church. This is my home. I will give everything to it. And I'm suggesting to you, if you treat this as your home, church, what are you giving to it? What are you giving to it? Is this home or what? So I believe if each of us in Raleigh Chinese Christian Church were to seriously pray and seek God's face at this time regarding the church mortgage, it's a real issue, big problem, big challenge. But is it a problem to God? I don't think so. You know why? Let me say this to you. Can we look at the next slide? And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good works. God has provided. God has given us resources. I say that why? We all live in very nice houses, don't we? I have never visited a home where it's bad. All very nice. And I can say, if our hearts are in it, I really believe we will pay off the mortgage immediately. Because I've seen it in Singapore. The most expensive church building there, not the church building, the land, $44 million. It was raised in 2 weeks. Was it easy? No, people give sacrificially. Why? Because that is their home. See, in 9:8, it talks about all grace abound. You know the word grace is the word gift. Same word. God has already gifted us all that we will ever need. I believe that God has given us the resources that we can pay it all off. Can we read the next verse? In verse 14, chapter 9, verse 14. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need. See? Nobody will have wants. You need something, someone else will provide. Tony Campolo was invited to a women's missionary conference. He didn't plan. He had forgotten. His secretary has forgotten. He came back from a long flight. He was very tired. He went off to that place to speak to a bunch of women. And then the chairperson invited somebody, a medical doctor from Venezuela, to share the need. Oh, we need $5,000 for a clinic. Why? Because the space we have right now cannot accommodate all the patients. We need $5,000. And so the chairwoman asked Dr. Campolo, can you please come and pray that God will provide $5,000 as needed? And let me quote him, quote, before I could catch myself, I said, no. But what I will say, what I will do is take all the money I am carrying right now in my pocket and put it on the altar. And then I'm going to ask everyone else here to do the same. No need to write checks. We will take cash. After we've all put the cash and we carry it to the altar and counted it, if it's less than 5,000, I will pray to God that God will give us the balance. And then he put his money there. And he said that was a good day to pull that off. Why? Because he only had $2.25 in his pocket. So he put his money there on the altar. And then he looked at the lady next to him. Now it's your turn. And he can see some of them really gave him dirty looks. And they all came, one after another, put their offering there. And he could tell that some of them weren't giving everything that they have by the look, by the way they were walking to the altar. It took 25 minutes to collect all the money. And he said there was no more time to preach. They had collected $8,000. Now let me quote him. There wasn't any time left for me to preach. I don't think they wanted to hear from me anyway. So I simply said to the congregation, the audacity of asking God for $5,000 when he has already provided us with more than $8,000. We should not be asking God to supply our needs. He already has given us. He already has. And so here we are. We pray for mortgage. We pray for this that God will provide. Could it be that we have all the resources, but we are not willing to give? And part of it is maybe you feel like this is not your church. Make it your church. Some church somewhere has got to be your home church. You have to put roots down somewhere. And in verse 11, the next slide, in verse 11 it says, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. See, the first principle is that we share. Need, somebody who has, give. And then vice versa, maybe in the future you have needs. Second, when we give like that, God is honored. Praise and thanksgiving will be given to God. We will overflow in many expressions of thanks to God. Generosity produces equality and an overflowing thanksgiving to God. Look at the next slide. This is India. We are so much richer than they are. See the guy living in that shack? Do you know that I drive by there every day. Augustine takes me to school. We have to pass that place. And I ask him, does he have to pay rent? Augustine say, yes. He built that, he still has to pay rent to the guy who owns that nice building. That's how poor they are. And you see the boy drinking out in an open drain. Pastor Joy said that when he visits the poor, they will always give him something, no matter how poor they are. But when he visits the rich, you know what happened? Must make appointment. When he visits the poor, no need appointment. Anytime, you're welcome. When the rich, you must make appointment. And sometimes when you come, they don't even show up. They're not there. And when they are there, they don't offer hospitality. He doesn't even get tea. See, wealth has a way of blinding us to what is important. Now, I'm going to mention a very unpleasant fact to you. I think it is a fact. And I say it with a broken heart. I hope you listen carefully. I know that many of the adults are not here in this service, they're in the Mandarin or Cantonese service. But you guys are the children. I hope you hear what I say and go back and tell your parents. This is what Pastor Po Wing said. And then ask them to examine the Bible, if it is biblical. Am I just saying it out of my head, you know? And I say it with as much love as I can for you and for Raleigh Chinese Christian Church. See, I understand that many are unhappy with the church leadership at this time, and they are saying that they are withholding their offering. Is that a fact? It seems that way. Let me say this as lovingly as I can. Leaders are duly elected by you. You elected them. And God honored your election. It's sort of like in the Old Testament, right? David and King Saul. King Saul was selected by God, approved by the people. And there are many occasions when King David could have just killed off Saul, at least three occasions, right? But he did not. Why? Because he is God's anointed. I will wait for God's time. God will make it right. God installs and God will remove. God will do what is right. It's not up to us. And is it right for us to withhold our offering? No. Why? Because it's the command from God is for us to give so that we can fund missions, we can fund the ministry of the church. It's not for us to withhold. See, what happened is that our responsibility is to give what we are told to give. And it is the leader's responsibility to use it wisely. After I have given, it's their responsibility. And if they don't use it wisely, they are answerable to God. But I am answerable to God for what I do with my money. It has nothing to do with the leadership. We are responsible to give. They, in the way they use it. We don't have permission from God to withhold our offering. If you do, you are not disobeying the leaders of the church. You are disobeying the direct command of God Himself. And one day we will stand before Him. And I don't know what your parents will say. They have nothing to say. We are positioned for victory because we have equality in the church and God is glorified. And quickly, let's look at the last point. We are weakened so that we can display God's grace and power. To keep me from becoming conceited because of this surpassing great revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We don't know what was Paul's thorn in the flesh. Probably bad eyesight. Probably. But he prayed. God did answer his prayers. And see, what happened is that Satan used that to discourage him. But God was allowing that for him to learn, "My grace is sufficient for your need." And that he learned that when I am weak, I throw myself totally at God's feet and He raises me up. And I do things that I cannot do on my own. We know many people who are like that, weak in the eyes of the world. And many examples, Johnny Erickson, the guy who was born without limbs, they are all like that, weak physically, but strong spiritually. And we cannot explain why they are used so greatly by God. Except, "My grace is sufficient for you." My weakness became strength. See, my physical weakness, I have many. And when I do this, I'm wearing hearing aid now. I can't hear. I want to do this before I die. And some of you, you can hear very well, you can see very well, you can think very well. Use all your strength right now for God. Often Christians are bullied and kicked around. Why? Because we are weak people. We are second-class citizens. We are of no value to society. Let me just give you one example and then close quickly. In India, my driver is Augustine. He's in his late 40s, early 50s with two grown children. One of them is that the younger daughter. He said this, in 2001 in Gujarat, India, in a particular town, they had a meeting. He's a ex-Campus Crusade staff. It was a crew meeting. They went there. They booked the hotel way in advance. They used the bathroom in the hotel, which is in the basement. They were meeting. And then a bunch of politicians came and said, "We want to meet in your hotel. We want that room." The hotel management had no choice. Ask the Christian, "Can you please move somewhere else?" And they said, okay. They moved to the third floor. And then the earthquake hit. The third floor became the ground floor. All the politicians died. And Augustine, who was there with 30 over people, none of them were injured. That is an example. It's a miracle. The weak, God preserved them, and they came out strong. Persecutions are happening all over China. Churches are closed. The largest church in Shanghai is being closed. We are faced with persecution. But you know what? Sort of like in the past, when persecutions come, they become stronger. They put them in prison, they share the gospel, they have more prisoners who are Christians. Time is short. I believe God has positioned us for victory today. That's our position. Do you believe in it? I'm going to show you one short snippet, a slide. If we can go to clip number 20. We are all soldiers. We are fighting a difficult battle. Do you look to Jesus or do you look to yourself? We have the victory. Can we play that clip? I hope we can get the sound out.
I am a soldier, a prayer warrior of the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out. I am faithful, compatible, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. I am in place, saluting my King, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. I am a soldier, prayer warrior. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end with nothing, I will still come out even. I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Even death cannot destroy me. But when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to a captain and then bring me back to rule this world with him. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior in this army, and I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior, and God has my back.
Well, I'm wondering if we can say that.
Where we share God's blessings that He has given to us. This is a time of worship. We give not only of our monetary resources, but we give of our lives as a living sacrifice. May everything that we give today and in the coming days be pleasing in His sight. If the offering ushers would come forward, please.